Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yom Daf Mem Beis. We're holding on daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rabbi Chanin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the end of the page. Amar Rabbi Chanin. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored on behalf of DailyGiving.org, an organization that enables everyone to easily perform the mitzvah of tzedakah every day. 100% of the collected money is given daily to different organizations around the world. Please go to dailygiving.org to join. And also by Rosie and Mark Friedman, Leila Nishmas, Rosie's dear mother, Giselle Gluck, Allah Shalom, whose yard site is on the 11th of Sivan. Nesham Shav and Aliyah, or yard site, I guess, was on the 11th of Sivan, that was yesterday. Nesham Shav and Aliyah. So we are holding again on Mem Aleph and Beis. We started discussing yesterday, we mentioned that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, there are two times that we have Lashon Shel Zaharis, and one time it requires a shear, and another time it doesn't require a shear. You have by the seer mishalech, and you have by the para aduma. So we're going to continue that conversation about how large the red string has to be when it comes to para aduma, and how weighty it has to be when it comes to para aduma. And then the Gemara is going to introduce a third time that we actually need a red piece of wool. And then the Gemara is going to discuss, you know, there was another time that Rabbi Yitzchak also said something about shtei something shamati, and I wasn't sure which one this halacha applies and which one that halacha applies, and that's when it comes to shchitos of a para and a par, the para aduma and the par of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Which one of those shchitos can be done by a zar, and which one of those shchitos cannot be done by a zar? And that's going to lead us into a longer discussion about the para aduma in general, which parts of the para aduma require dafka the a kohen or a Kohen Gadol, we're going to darshan psukim about the para aduma toward the end of the daf. So all of this is going to, this whole conversation about the red string, just sort of the red piece of wool, is going to lead us into this this discussion of the para aduma, which takes up the bulk of today's daf. So let's begin again, 8 lines from the bottom of the page on daf mem aleph am beis. So Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Eitz Erez Ushni Tolas Kol Tassan Shaleves Ksheira Shekol Tassan Shaleves Ksheira. If you have the Eitz Erez and the Shni Tolas and you throw them into the Shreifa Sapara, into the fire that's burning the Para Aduma, and then the fire destroys it, burns it before it falls into the Shreifa Sapara, meaning it gets singed right at the top, at the tips of the flames, it immediately burns it, it never really falls into the rest of the Para that's burning, it's still going to be kosher. That's valid as a valid way of burning the Eitz Erez and the Shni Tolas together with the Shreifa Sapara. So Meisvei asked the Gemara, but wait a second, we have a Braisa that tells us, Nishavev Allah, maybe Lashon Acher Mekadesh, that if it gets singed before it goes into the fire proper, then you're going to have to bring another Lashon Shel Zoros. You're going to have to bring another red piece of wool in order to throw it into the fire. Sounds from the Braisa that if the tips of the flames is what burns it, it's going to be puzzle. You need to bring a Lashon Acheres. So that's a Kashan of Chanin, who just said that it's going to be kosher and that it doesn't have to fall into the actual center of the flame where the par is burning. So Rabbi Lokasha. So Abai says one answer simply is kan bekolachas, kan binechveves. It depends what the fire looks like. If the fire is very high, the flames are very high, so that when it gets burned by the tips of the flames, it cannot be said to have been burned together with the para, because the para is at the base of the fire. But if the flame is a low flame, so when you throw it into the fire, even if it gets burnt at the top of the flame, it's right there. It's together with the rest of the para. And that's what we were talking about when we said that it would be kosher. So that's the resolution to the stira. That's Abaye's resolution to the stira. Rava Omer, Rava says a different resolution to the stira, simply that kovet tanoihi, whether the red wool has to be weighty enough, it has to be heavy enough that it falls into the center of the flame, that's a machlokas tanaim, that there's a shita in tanaim that it doesn't have to, and there's a shita that it does have to. And that's why, on the one hand, Rabbi Chanin Amarav tells us that it does not have to fall into the center of the flame, and yet we have a braisa that tells us that it does have to fall into the center of the flame. Did Tanya, we find in the braisa that there is such a machlokas tanaim. The braisa tells us, lama korchan, why do we wind together, tie together the Eitz Erez and the Ezov and the Shni Tolas all together? Because we want them all in a single bundle. See, after all, the pasuk says, sounds like you take them all together. So, divrei Rebbe. Whereas Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon Omer, no, it's kidei she'ben kovet v'yipul l'toch sefer sapara. It's not because there's a halacha that it has to be taken all together. It's a practical thing that since they all have to be burnt mamish together with the para, we need to make it in such a way that it's going to be heavy enough that it's going to fall right into the fire, into the center of the fire, without getting burnt before it falls into the center of the fire. So you see that there is this machlokas tanaim. Does it have to be heavy? That according to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, it has to be heavy in order to, and that's why we bind them all together. Whereas according to Rebbe, apparently, there's no din that it has to be heavy. The only reason we bind them together is because it sounds from the pasuk that they're supposed to be all put together. So you can't ask on Rabbi Chanan, who was machshir when it gets singed by the tips of the flames, that he's against the brisa, because Rabbi Chanan will say, I hold like Rebbe, that it's allowed to get singed by the tips of the flames. It doesn't have to go into the center of the fire. And the brisa holds like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that no, it needs to be heavy enough to go into the middle of the fire. Kiyas Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Am Rav Yochanan, he said over in the name of Rav Yochanan, Shalosh Lashonos Shamati. Not only about two pieces of red wool, three pieces of red wool that have different shiurim in terms of how large they have to be. Acha Shal Parah, V'acha Shal Sir Mishleach, those are the two we've been discussing until now. V'acha Shal Mitzora. Pasuk says by Mitzora, V'lokach Lemitar, it says, Shni Tola'as Ve'ezov. That there is this din of Shni Tola'as, of using a red piece of wool when it comes to the Mitzora as well. Achas Mishkal Asara Zuz, one of them has to be a weight of 10 Zuz, V'achas Mishkal Shnei Sla'im, and one of them has to be the weight of 2 Sla'im, V'achas Mishkal Shekel, a Sela is 4 Zuz, so Shnei Sla'im is going to be 8 Zuz, so he says, so one of them has to be 10 Zuz, one of them has to be Shnei Sla'im, which is 8 Zuz, and one of them has to be just a Shekel. Shekel is only 2 Zuz, so you have 8 Zuz, 10 Zuz, 10 Zuz, 8 Zuz, and 2 Zuz, but we don't know, mainly the Farish. We don't know which one is which, how heavy each of these pieces of wool has to be. So Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Pirsha, Mishmed Rabbi Yonah's son, so he explained, he elaborated on this teaching in the name of Rabbi Yonah's son, and he said that we can sort it all out as follows. Shal Parah Mishkal Asarazuz, the one that's associated with the Parah Aduma, since it has to be heavy enough to fall right into the center of the fire, that's the one that's got to be Tenzuz. Vishal Sir Mishtaleach, the one that's Shilsir Mishalech, Mishkal Shnei Slaim, that we learned that you divide it into two pieces. Half of it goes on the rock and half of it goes between the horns of the Sir Mishalech. So it has to have a Kadei Chaluka, where it has to be like a middle size. So that's Shnei Slaim. That could just be the size of Eitzos. Vishal Mitzora, Mishkal Shekel. And the one of Mitzora doesn't have to be heavy and it doesn't have to have a Kadei Chaluka. It doesn't have to be divided. So that could be very tiny. That could just be Mishkal Shekel and that's going to be good enough. So that's how we sort it all out. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Pligim Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta V'Rabbanan Bepara. The actual weight of the Lashon HaZuhuris that you use for the Parah Aduma is actually subject to a machlokes. Not everyone agrees that it's got to be 10 Zuz. Chad Amar Mishkal Asara. There is one sheet that's got to be the weight of 10 Zuz. V'chad Amar Mishkal Shekel. That it could be even just a tiny one, even the size of a shekel, which is the other extreme. V'simenayich. And the way to remember that the two shitos about the Lashon Shel Zoharis by the Parah Aduma are to such extremes that there's no shita in the middle. It's either just a shekel or 10 shekel. It's so much larger. So Echad Amar Bave Echad Amamit. The way to remember it is to remember what the Mishnah Menachos tells us about those who are misnadiv to the Mizbeach, that Echad Amar Bave Echad Amamit. So Marbe and Mamit, the end of the phrase is that they're all equal in the eyes of Hashem, Vashi Chavi Libel Hashemayim. As long as you're having kavanah l'shem shemayim. Some people could only afford a little karban mincha. Some people could afford a big animal as a karban. But as long as you're having nibul l'shemayim, regardless of what you could afford, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves all of it. So, but that phrase, echad amar ve'echad amamid, is another way of saying two extremes. That there are two extreme shitos, one that's marba, that has a very large shear, and one that's mamid, that has a very small shear. So I'm there, Rabbi Yirmi Midifti says to Ravina, this machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Chalaft and the Rabbanan, whether the Lashon Shel Zoharis by the Parah Aduma is 10 Zuz or just a single shekel, lo b'parah pligi, it's not really, they're not really arguing about the Parah, el b'sir mishtaleach pligi. The machlokas was not by the Parah Aduma, the machlokas was by the sir mishtaleach. Why would you need such a large shear for the sir mishtaleach? So Tosi Shonin points out that you want it to be a large enough shear that everyone should notice it, because you want to be mefarsim the neis of the halbanas halashon, that it would turn, this was a red dyed wool, that turned white. So that was a miracle that happened, that it turned white, to signify kaparas avonos. So you want it to be a big piece of red wool. Let everyone see that it turned white. Vahu yoma, and on that day that they had this machlokas about the seer mishaleach, noch nafshe de Rav Yabarkisi. This chacham named Rav Yabarkisi passed away. Va'anchu basimana, and they made a siman to remember that this machlokas about the seer mishaleach, Rav Yabarkisi mechaper kisir mishaleach. They said the way to remember that this machlokas happened right around the time of his death, that his death should be mechaper, just like the seer mishaleach is mechaper. Where do we find that someone's death is mechaper for something? So Rashi points out the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Chav Chesam Adalav tells us, Laman is Misas Aaron the Big Day Kuhuna. Why is it that the death of Aaron is told to us in the Torah right next to the halachas of the Big Day Kuhuna? So Laman Chama Big Day Kuhuna Mechaper Maf Misas Sadiqim Mechaperes, to tell us that just like Big Day Kuhuna are Mechaper, Misas Sadiqim is also Mechaper. So here this Sadiq died, and we associate it with the discussion about the Seer Mishaleach, because his death is also Mechaper, similar to the way the Seer Mishaleach is Mechaper. So the problem is, the whole point that we made over here was that the machlokas about the red piece of wool was not about the paraduma, it was about the Seer Mishaleach. Paraduma is also mechaper. In fact, that same sugya in Moed Katan says, "Lama nismecha misas Miriam leparshas paraduma." Why is misas Miriam and parshas paraduma juxtaposed with each other? And it says, "Lama lecha ma paraduma mechaperes af misas tzadikim mechaperes." So it gives paraduma as an example of something that's mechaper. So it shouldn't really, the simon's not really a great simon, because it's not going to help you remember that the machlokas is about the seer mishaleach, as opposed to the paraduma, just because the seer mishaleach is mechaper. The paraduma is also mechaper. So it's not really a wonderful simon. So Tosfos Shonim points out that it's true, the paraduma is also mechaper, but the paraduma is not the ikur there for kapara. It does achieve kapara on a certain level, but that's not its primary purpose. Primary purpose of paraduma is to be metahir. Seer Mishaleach's primary purpose is for kapara. So it's a greater mechaper than the paraduma. And therefore it is a valid simon, as if you really think about that which is most mechaper, you're going to think more of the Seer Mishaleach than you will of the paraduma. Now the Pnei Yeshua points out that this is why they were not koveya tainis on Yom Misas Tzadikim, meaning when Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed, so we're koveya tainis. What about every other tzaddik? There weren't enough tzaddikim that were of the stature of Gedaliah ben Achikam in Jewish history, that we only have a tzom Gedaliah and we don't have a tzom for all the other Misas Tzadikim. So Pnei Yeshua points out, no, because Misas Tzadikim is mechaperes. So in a certain sense, it's not a sad day, because it means that Klal Yisrael achieved kapara, so we're not going to fast over Misas Tzadikim. Why then do we fast for Gedaliah? Because he was killed by a Jew. That's not going to be mechaper for anything. If a tzaddik dies, that's going to be mechaper. If a tzaddik was taken from us, that's going to be mechaper for us. But if we take a tzaddik from us, that's certainly not going to be mechaper. Adrav, it's going to achieve the opposite of kapara. So for that, we have to fast. So Chazal were never koveya tainis on Misas Tzadikim. Nevertheless, the Shlach HaKadosh is quoted by all the poskim. It's quoted by the Mishmur and Tavkuf Samaches and by the Berhe, that it's a minag yafa that on the day that one's Rebbe Muvhak passes away, that he should fast. Similar to the way that one fasts on a yard site. That's what the Rebbe Kiviger in Yoredeya and Siman Tav Beis quotes us based on the Gemara in the Darm. The Gemara in the Darm, Daf Yud Beis, says if a person takes a neder, hareni shalo ochel baser v'shalo eshtayayin kiyom shemespo aviv kiyom shemespo rabo. So just the Gemara just gives that as an example, that a person could take a neder, I'm not going to eat meat or drink wine, just like the day of a yard site for a parent or the day of a yard site for a Rebbe. So it sounds like for a Rabbi Mufak that there is such a, you should treat it similar to a yard site for a parent. So that's at least a Midas Chasidus, a good thing to do. In the Kleisenberger's Tshuvas in Divrei Yitziv in Yerodeya Simresh Mem Dalid, he brings a whole bunch of sources that the connection between a Rebbe and a Talmud in a certain sense is even greater than the connection between a father and a child. So Yom Shemesh for Rabbo, that's why there's such a practice to to fast. V'yom shemes bar rabo. I was just with my talmidim last night, together with Rabbi Shai Schechter, and the talmidim open floor to ask questions. They said, Rabbi, why don't you have the beard? Okay, so however I answer that. So they asked Rabbi Shai Schechter, why did your father not have a beard for so long? What made him decide to grow? He did it till he was in his 50s. He didn't grow a beard. So he said, because he was noig avelus when the Rav passed away. So he was he grew a beard, and then my mother liked it, so he kept it. But that was because he was being noig. I never realized that. I thought he just realized that now he's going to be the main Rosh Hashiva that everyone's going to look up to. So he thought he should probably have a beard. But apparently it was because he was noig avelus. Okay, so that a person has a deep connection to a Rebbe Mufak. So says the Gemara now. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, shtei shchito shamati. Once we spoke about how Rabbi Yitzchak said that he heard about the two ideas, shtei lishonos shamati, two lishonos of Zoharis. So shtei shchito shamati. He says, I also heard about two different shchitos, achas shel para v'achas shel paro. One about the para aduma, where the Torah says in Satan Masal Elaz Rekhan, v'shachat osa lefanav. So the Ritva points out that in the Mishnah there's machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham by para aduma that's done not by a kohen gadol, whether it's going to be kosher or not. So it sounds like there's a machlokas tanoim whether it must be done by the kohen gadol. So it sounds over there that if it was done by a zar, for sure it's going to be possible. The only question is you need a kohen gadol. But definitely a kohen you're going to need. But that's not talking about the shechita of the para. Over here, we're talking about the shechita of the para aduma. That's talking about everything else of the para aduma, from the Kabbalah Saddam and on, all the other avodas ha-para. Over here, we're talking about the shechita of the para aduma. So you have the shechita of the para aduma and the shechita of the paro of the kohen gadol on Yom HaKippurim, the para of the kohen gadol on Yom HaKippurim, where it also says, v'shachatas parachatas asher lo. One of these is kosher to be done by a non-kohen, the other one cannot be done by a non-kohen, but I don't know which one. One of these shchitos can be done by somebody who's not even a kohen. So they said as follows, shchitas para u paro, Rabu Shmuel, chadam or para psula paro kshera, vechadam or paro psula para kshera. One of them said one way, the other one said the other way. So one of them said that the shchitas para aduma can be done by a non-kohen, the other one said, no, the shchitas para kohen gadol be a Kippurim can be done by a non-kohen. So who said what? So Tistayim de Ravu da Amar para psula. Most likely Rav says para aduma must only be done by a kohen. It's possible if done by a zar. The shechita of the par kohen gadol in Yom HaKippurim, that could be done by a zar. Why do I think Rav is the one that holds that para aduma may not be done by anybody but a kohen? Tam Rabbi Zeira shechitas para bizar psula, because Rabbi Zeira said this exact idea that shechitas para is possible by a zar, and va'amar Rav Allah, and on that Rav commented Elazar v'chukah sheninuba. You know why it's going to be possible if it's done by a non-kohen? Because in the parsha of Parah Aduma it says Unesat Mosa el Ozar HaKohen, and it says at the beginning of the parsha of Parah Aduma Zos Chukas HaTorah, and whenever you have a chukah, it's telling me that everything, all the contents of that parsha is La'akev, that everything is Ma'akev in that parsha. So the parsha starts with Zos Chukas HaTorah, so now read on and everything you're about to read is Ma'akev, and one of the things it says there is Elazar, that it's got to be done by a kohen, by Elazar HaKohen. So if you're Meshanev, you do any different than what it says, it's going to be possible. And that's why Shechitas Para is only going to be kosher if done by a kohen. It's not going to be kosher if done by a zar. That apparently is the Shita of Rav. Now, when this same passage appears in Maseches Vachem and Maseches Menachos, this statement of Rabbi Zeira that Shechitas Para Bizar is Psula, it appears with a little addition. It says, the Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav, Shechitas Para Bizar Psula. And in fact, the Gra changes our gears over here. That it's not just Rabbi Zeira saying it, and then Va'amar Rav Allah, and Rav explains where it comes from. Oh, because of Chukah and Elazar. No, the actual statement that the Shechitas Para Bizar Psula was Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav. That itself was Rav. So you don't even really need to go the next step to show me that Rav holds that it's possible. It's right there in the sentence. So that's what the Cheshek Shlomo says. So why, according to that gear, so why do we have, why does our Gemara even quote that Rav's explanation? The explanation is really irrelevant over here. The point is, we're trying to show which way does Rav hold. Does Rav hold that a zar could do the shechita of the par, or does Rav hold that a zar could do the shechita of the par? So once you have it beferish, Amar Rav Zeira Amar Rav, shechitas para, bizar, psula, why do I need Rav to then explain why? Oh, because of chukah, because of Elazar, you don't need that. So Cheshek Shlomo explains, you do, because the whole machlokas is only whether it's possible in a Torah. Everyone agrees that a zar is not allowed to do the shechita of the par Gemara on a Drabbanan level. The whole issue is he not even allowed to do it on a Doraisa level. So just a statement, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Shechitas Para Bizar Psula, that's not even controversial. Everyone agrees to that because it's going to be possible on a Drabbanan level. Oh, but then Rav explains, why is it possible? Chuka, El Azar, he starts telling me, Psukim in the Torah means that Rav holds that it's a din d'oraisa. And that's really the point we're trying to make. That Rav holds that it's a din d'oraisa, that it's going to be possible. So says the Gemara, V'rav Maishna para d'ksiv alaz v'chuka, paronami ksiv aron v'chuka, in the parasha of the Parakohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim, it also says Chuka, and it also singles out Aaron. So doesn't that tell you that it can't be done by a Zar? Says Gemara, Shechit Alav Avodahi. No, it doesn't tell me that it can't be done by a Zar. Only the Avodos of the Parakohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim cannot be done by a Zar. Shechita is not considered an Avoda, and therefore the Chuka that it says in the Parsha is not really going on the Shechita, it's going on the Avodos in that Parsha. In fact, the Gemara, Ihachi Paranami. But then you say the same thing by Paradum also. Well, the only thing that's in play over here to discuss that might not need a Kohen is the Shechita. So by telling me, oh, the reason the Shechita's Par doesn't require a Kohen is because it's not an Avoda anyway, by that same logic, Shechita's Para shouldn't require a Kohen because it's not an Avoda. It says, no, but Shiny Para, the Kachi Betekabai, see, nothing about Paradum is an Avoda. The whole thing is not, it's not Kachem Mizbeach. They don't shecht it in the Beis HaMikdash. The whole thing is only Kachem Bet HaKabayis. So if there's going to be a pasuk in the Torah that insists that there be kahuna, it must be on every part of it, because there's no part that's an avoda more than any other part. Whereas by the Parakohen when Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, Shechita is not an avoda, everything else is an avoda. So if you're going to tell me there's some part that needs kahuna, it's those parts that are actually an avoda. So says Mar Bavalav Kol Dechenu, can't you make a Kal Dechomer that of the Shechita of the Par of Aaron, which has Kedush Sagu, and it's going to be kosher by a Zar, so Koshkin Par Aduma, which is only kosher by the Kabayis, for sure its Shechita should be kosher by a Zar. Sans Gemara, Amar Rav Shisha Brei Dravidi, Midi Dahava Amaros Negaim. No, yeah, not every time, even though all the Maisei Para are not Avodos, it could be that you're not allowed to have a Zar do it. There are certain things that are not Avodos that we insist on a Kohen. What's an example of such a thing? Seeing Negaim, the Lava Avodos. It's not an avoda. Ubaya kuna. Nevertheless, it's going to require kuna. That's seeing whether it's tummy or tahar. It has to be done by a kohen. The pasuk says, "Adam kiyeva orbisoro seiso sapachas obaheres vayo orbisoro negatzras vuhuva el." Aaron HaKohen. So by the Maisa Parah, you could also say it's not an Avoda, but nevertheless, the Torah demands that it be a Kohen. So once the Torah demands that it be done by a Kohen, there's no reason to distinguish between the Shechita and any of the other Avodos. The Achronim discuss, when it comes to Maros Negaim by a Kohen, it's a funny Chakira they have. They say, is that a Din in Kohuna, or is that a Din in Bnei Aaron? That the people who look at the Maros Negaim, is it a Din in Kohuna, or is it a Din Bnei Aaron, that the Torah is makbid that it has to be someone from Mishpachas Aaron that looks at the Negayim to be Metamir Metahir, and not because of the Kuhuna, the Mainaf Kamina, whether it's the Bnei Aaron or the Kohanim, so the Mainaf Kamina. So you would think a Naf Kamina might be, if you have a Chalal, that he's Mibnei Aaron, but nevertheless, it's not Kuhuna, but it's possible that he's not even Mibnei Aaron, that he loses that status of Mibnei Aaron. So they said Naf Kamina is, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that was Maskir Miriam Bitsarata. So they bring that as a Raya. That it's Midin Kuhuna, because you can say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kohen, you can't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mibnei Aaron. So that's the Raya that they bring in that Chakira, whether it's a Din of Kuhuna or a Din of Bnei Aaron. Okay, so the Shmuel Damar Paro Psula, according to Shmuel, whose Shita is that Paro Psula, that the Par Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim cannot be done by a Zar, that Paro is the Shechita cannot be done by a Zar, Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says Aaron V'chuka, because it says Aaron and it says Chuka, so we know everything it says in the Parsha is Ma'akif. So Paranami Haksiv El Azar V'chuka according to Shmuel, but what is it? Doesn't Paraduma also have El Azar V'chuka, an insistence that it be done by a Kohen? Says no, Shiny Hasam, by the case of Paraduma it's different, because even though the Pasuk does say El Azar and Chuka, we're still going to allow Shechita Bizar Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says V'shachat Osa lifanav. Pasuk says someone has to shecht it in front of Elazar. Sounds like Elazar himself doesn't have to be doing the shechting. So that's the pasuk that teaches us here. Zar shochet ve'Elazar roa, that a zar can shecht it as long as Elazar is overseeing the whole process. So you see that the shechita doesn't have to be done by a kohen. It just has to be overseen by a kohen. Ve'rav, and how's Rav going to explain lifanav? Rav insists that it be done by a kohen. He thinks that's what Elazar is telling us in the parsha. That a chukah and Elazar tells me that it has to be done by a kohen. What does he do with the word lifanav? No, the fun of teaching me something else. That you shouldn't stop watching it at any point. You can't have a heskadas from to make sure that no psul happens to it. How does Shmuel know that you can't have a heskadas from the paraduma? He derives that from the pasuk v'sarif es hapara le'enov, that the word le'enov tells us not to have a heskadas. V'rav, and Rav already learns from the word lefanav that you're not allowed to have a heskadas. What does he learn from le'enov? To tell me that you can't have hezchadas neither by the shechita nor by the shreifa separate. You got to keep an eye on that paraduma, make sure everything is being done properly. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me not to have hezchadas both by the shechita and by the shreifa? Can't I derive one from the other? No, utzricha. Dikas rachman b'shechita. If it only would have told me by the shechita you can't have hezchadas, mishum d'tchil savodi, I would say, because you got to start off right. When you start off, you got to start off the beginning of the avodi. You got to do it properly. So the avodas paraduma has like 9 steps to it. So the first step, you got to make sure you start off on the right foot. So avod sreifa imalo. But when it comes to the sreifa, by that time you could already be mesiach das. So tzricha. That's why it has to tell me that by sreifa you can't be mesiach das either. Because rachman b'sreifa. And if it only would have told me about not having hezchad das by the sreifa, I would have said, yeah, mishum dahashta hu demiskash rapara. Because that's the purpose. That's what it's all for, to create the efer para. The efer is created by the burning. So that's really the key avoda of the paraduma. Avol shchita emlo, but shchita was just like a hechitimtza to be able to access the meat to burn to make the efer. It's not really the ikar avoda of the paraduma. So I would think you're allowed to have hezchadas by the shchita tzricha, and that's why the Torah has to tell me this din that you're not allowed to have hezchadas both by shchita and by the sreifa. So the Gemara now discusses which avodas of the para is it usher to have a hesachadas. As we point out, there are 9 different avodas of the para aduma. So the Gemara explains the psukim that identified shechita and sreifa as not being masiach das. Right? We just said that we have lefanav. We have 2 words in the pasuk. What was it? Lefanav and le'enav. Right? One to tell me not to have a hesachadas by the shechita. Another not to tell me not to have hezchadas by the para. L'mutemai. So which parts of the process am I allowed to have hezchadas on? Meaning it seems to be indicating that there are parts that you are allowed to have hezchadas on. Tosfos points out, the Gemara is taking it for granted that there are parts that you're allowed to have hezchadas. Meaning, why did the Gemara just assume, well, if I'm not allowed to have hezchadas by the shechita and not by the shefer, probably anything in between also, I'm not allowed to have hezchadas. So Tosfos points out, because then it should have told me that you can't have hezchadas by any one of the other steps in the process. Because what we just pointed out in the Gemara we just identified is something special about the shechita, that it's what starts off the process, and something special about the sreifa. So if you would have told me some benign element of the, you know, some much less, something that doesn't have any special quality to it, some other step of the avodah sapara, and you would have told me you can't have hezchadas there, then I could have derived from to all these steps of the para that you can't have hezchadas. Why is that the Torah dafka told it to me by these 2 spots? It must be by these highly sensitive spots, that's where you can't have hezchadas. But by all the other steps in the process, you are allowed to have hezchadas. So if it's from a gathering the efer, that's where you're allowed to have hezchadas. Or filling up the mayim chayim from the mayan lekidush in order to be mekadish the mayim that they put it together with the ashes in order to sprinkle. So the mishmeres lemei nidux. If you can't say that those avodos are excluded, because the pasuk says the mishmeres lemei nida, and that means that you need a mishmeres of this mayim to sprinkle it on the tamei person. So it sounds like all the avodos require shmira until you actually sprinkle the water. So how could you say the asifa sefer and the milu and mayim and the kiddush Chiddush Shamayim does not get ruined by Hasek Hadas. Elumut Hashlachas Heitzeres Veizov V'Shnitalas Tlav Gufa Deparninu. No, it must be saying that Hasek Hadas is not going to be a problem when it comes to throwing the Heitzeres and the Ezov and the Shnitalas. This bundle that we spoke about before, that according to one Shita and Tanoim has to be heavy enough to go right into the center of the fire. That's not really the Gufa Depara. Those are other ingredients in the fire, but they're not the actual Gufa Para, and therefore that you're allowed to have Hasek Hadas for. That's not going to possible with Hasek Hadas. See it, Mashchitas Para Bizar, a Zar Shechting a Para Aduma, Rabbi Ami Amar Kshera, Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha Amar Psula, Ula Amar Kshera, Varmi La Psula. Meaning, we already had a Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Can a Zar do the Shechit of a Para Aduma? So now the Gemara just reports that wasn't the end of the Machlokas. There were a lot of other Amoraim that argued about the same Machlokas. Can a Zar do the Shechit of the Para Aduma? It wasn't just Rav and Shmuel. Other Amoraim had the same Machlokas. So now the Gemara challenges those who say that it's kosher bizar. So must Rabbi Shobar Abba l'siyue l'rav. I'll bring a raya to Rav that it's possible that a zar is not allowed to do the shechita of the paraduma. Because ain't liyala hazas meimah. I would only know from the lashon of the pasuk that the sprinkling of the mechatas on the tamei person she'ain k'sherin bi'isha k'be'ish, where it can only be done by a man, it cannot be done by a woman. How do I know a woman's not allowed to do it? Because the pasuk says v'lakach ezo v'tavol b'mayim ish tahar vihiza. In general, the Torah speaks b'lashon zachar, but we assume when the Torah, even though the Torah is speaking b'lashon zachar, in general, that's not enough to say that it's only talking to men. When we speak to Klal Yisrael, we speak b'lashon zachar, even though it refers to women as well. But when the Torah goes out of its way to use the word ish, then we always say it means ish below isha. That's the way the Torah identifying that it's got to be a man, it cannot be a woman. Ve'im k'sherin el b'yom. Also, it can only be done during the daytime, because it says who's chatabo. By Yom HaShlishi, not by Shlishi, but by Yom HaShlishi. So I know that the sprinkling of the water cannot be done by a woman and cannot be done at night. It's got to be done during the day. Minayin l'rabos shchitasa v'kabalas dama v'azaz dama. How do I know that the shchita and the kabbalah and the azah all have to be done usreifasa and the burning v'ashach seiteres v'ezov shnitolas, that all of those things have to be done by Yom? It's pashat that they can't be done by an isha, because it says Elazar HaKohen by all of them. But how do I know that they all have to be done by Yom? So Tamalomar Torah. Pasuk says Zos Chukas HaTorah, so it implies Torah Achas for all of the Avodos, that they all play by the same rules, and therefore they all have to be done by Yom. They're all possible Laila. So Yachl Shanimar Ba'afasifa Safaru Milamayim Bekidush. I might think that even the mixing of the ashes with the water has to be done Dafka by Yom, just like the sprinkling of the water. Tamalomar Zos. That's why it says Zos as a meal, to tell me that there are certain things the Pasuk insists that be done by Yom, other parts that the pasuk does not insist be done by Yom. So I have a reboy of Torah that tells me, oh, a whole bunch of stuff has to be done by Yom. I have Zos, which is a miyut, to tell me, no, there are certain things that don't have to be done by Yom. So I'm marba all of these other avodas daman shefasa shachseitar ezov shnitolas, and I'm imait the asifa safara milamayim v'kiddush, that doesn't have to be done by Yom. So ask the Gemara, like it always does when you have one reboy and one miyut. And you say, oh, I'm being marba these dinim and ma'i these dinim umari isa. Who told you the rabbi saselu lahotzi saselu? Who told you to include the dinim of shchita and kabbalas dam and azaz dam and shreifa and shach seitzaz shnitolas from the word Torah that must be done by yom ulahotzi saselu, and to exclude asifa safara and milamayim and kiddush from the word zos that doesn't have to be done by yom? So achash shriba kasav miyet, because once we have a riboy and a miyet amr tarayan lemedin kulan, we shall learn all the avodos me'azaz from the sprinkling of the water, that where it has to be done by Yom, and we should include everything. Just like the sprinkling of the water cannot be done by a woman, it can only be done during the day. Afani avi. So from the word Torah, I learn that whole, since these steps in the process also cannot be done by a woman, they also must be done during the day. Ah, why do I exclude certain halachas from this din? Because these dinim that I'm excluding from Yom are also kasher by an isha. So the dinim that I'm going to say can be and must be done by Yom have to be similar to hazas memela, in that they can only be done by a man. But anything that could be done by a woman apparently does not have to be done during the day. So it's going to be kasher by Yom u'b'layla. That's right. I learned from Zos that it's Mikasha B'yom B'layla. Why do we quote this whole thing about B'yom B'layla? We weren't talking about that. The whole Machlokas Rav and Shmuel was, can a non-Kohen do the Shechita of the Parah Aduma? So he said, oh, I'll bring a Givaldik Araya that it's possible that he absolutely cannot. And we get this whole conversation about a woman doing parts of the Parah Aduma and doing it B'yom. So it says, why am I Tiyufta? I don't get it, the Gemara asks. How do you see from here that a Zar is not allowed to do the Shechita of the Parah Aduma? So it says, maybe you're going to tell me no. The point is that the Braisa clearly holds that the Shechita of the Parah and the other Avodas of Parah cannot be done by an Isha. So if they cannot be done by an Isha, probably they cannot be done by a Zar either. Meaning, what's the problem with an Isha? That she's not a Kohen. So a Zar is also not a Kohen. So probably that's it. That just like there's no Din Kuhuna by an Isha, there's no Din Kuhuna by a Zar. So it says, is that really true? Everything that an Isha can't do, a Zar also can't do? Aren't there certain things that a male Zar can do that an Isha cannot do? Hazas Memel Tochiach. Look at the sprinkling of the water itself. Shepsulim bi Isha. Halacha is an Isha is not allowed to do it. It says V'tavol b'mayim ish tahar uksherim bazar. But a zar is allowed to do it. That there's no. So you see that the psul zar is not derived from a psul Isha. So what exactly was our kasha over here? What exactly was our raya over here? So Rabbi Hainu Tiyufdei. Now here was the raya. Isha my time, what's the reason that an Isha is not allowed to do the Shechita of the Parah Aduma? We don't find that there's a special miyat that you have just like you do by the other avodos. So it has to be that the Tana doesn't tarsh in the pasuk v'shachato salufanav like Shmuel does, who said that that someone else is going to shecht and Elazar is going to be roeh. Because otherwise, how would you know that an isha cannot do the shechita? So from the fact that you tell me that an isha must not do it can't do the shechita, must be because Elazar velo isha. It must be from the word Elazar in the pasuk that it says Elazar's got to do the shechita, and Elazar means not an isha. Yeah, you know what Elazar is also? Zarnami, Elazar, Velozar. Elazar is also not a Zar. Meaning, had you darshan the pasuk of Elazar to be saying that Elazar just has to oversee it, he just has to oversee the process, then you never would have been able to be Memayit Isha from Shechita, because Shechita is not even an Avoda. From the fact that you're pasuling an Isha, it means it's not that everything an Isha can't do, a Zar also can't do. It's look at why an Isha can't do this. An Isha can't do this because the pasuk says the word Elazar. That's how I know an Isha can't do it. Well, that word is strong enough to tell me that a Zar also can't do it, because Elazar was not only not an Isha, he was also not a Zar. So that's how I know that a Tafka needs to be done by a Kohen. So now the Gemara is going to explain how we darshan some of the Psukim in the Parsha of Parah Aduma. So Amrullah, call a Parsha Kula. Ula tells us the entire parsha of the Maisa Parah Aduma is written in one of two ways: Mashma Motzi Miyad Mashma and Mashma Memela. There are sometimes where one pasuk is mevatel the mashmaus of the previous pasuk, that the previous pasuk pasels something and then the next pasuk is machshir or vice versa, and sometimes the second pasuk is mekayim the same thing that we just said in the previous pasuk, that it just adds to the previous pasuk. It's not mevatel that which it said in the previous pasuk, and that how that plays out will become clear as we go through the Pesukim. So let's darshan in the Parsha of Parah Adum. Pasuk says, "Musatamosa el Elazar HaKohen." So it sounds like the Parah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu had to be done by Elazar, who was the Sagan Kohen Gadol. So we darshan from that Pasuk, Osa, that Parah in the days of Moshe, Le Elazar, could only be done by Elazar HaKohen. But V'lo L'Doros Elazar. We darshan from there, a Parah Adum that's done the Doros does not have to be done by Elazar HaKohen. As Machlokas, what it's coming to be might. Ikadamri, that we have to be more machmir, that Lidoros b'Kohen Gadol, that Paraduma Lidoros has to be done dafka by a Kohen Gadol. Vikadamri, no, we're more makil. It doesn't have to be done by a Sagan. Lidoros b'Kohen Hedyot. It could even be done by a Kohen Hedyot. You don't even need a Sagan. So it's in one direction or the other. One thing we know is in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Paraduma had to be done dafka by the Sagan, by Elazar. But we don't know what that means, Lidoros. Does it mean Lidoros were more strict or that Lidoros were less strict? The Kleisenberg has a tshuva in Divrei Yitziv in Chosh Mishpat Simon Kuf Chav Aleph, where he discusses why it is that we can't have a Parah Aduma b'zman hazeh. And the most obvious reason is we don't have a Parah Aduma. But let's say you did have a Parah Aduma. Let's say you found a red cow. Every couple of years on all the Jewish websites, they advertise that there's some farm in, last time was in Lakewood, I think, ironically, that some non-Jewish farmer found a Parah Aduma in his, until they find that it's not a Parah Aduma. But Klaizim discusses, can it be possible? So he points out, according to one day in the Gemara, you need a Kohen Gadol. We don't have a Kohen Gadol b'zman hazeh. So he says, can we have a Kohen Gadol b'zman hazeh? Would it be possible? He says, minu Kohen Gadol has to be done alidei Sanhedrin. So you'd have to solve that problem first. You need a Sanhedrin. Problem is, we can't have a Sanhedrin because we don't have smicha b'zman hazeh. Ooh, but there was a whole machlokas in the Gedolei Achronim about 500 years ago. Can you reinstitute smicha? Maybe according to that Shitas HaRambam that they explained, you can reinstitute smicha. The Mari Bei Rav in the Kuntros HaSmicha says that it is shaykh to have smicha b'zman hazeh, but nevertheless, and the Shemana Mishcha is not really Ma'akev, but he says, yeah, but how do you make a Kohen Gadol? Either Shemana Mishcha or Riba Begadim. He puts on the Shemona Begadim. So again, out of luck. Riba Begadim means that he's going to have to get the Shemona Begadim and he's going to have to do Avodah Kol Shiva with the Shemona Begadim. It doesn't just mean that they are producing in Israel, right? There is that Machon HaMikdash that produces the Big Day Kuna, I think. But it's and then he says, in any way, even if you don't need a Kohen Gadol, it could be good enough for the Kohen Hedyot, and therefore you only need Dalet Begadim. But he says, if you assume like Shita Satosa, that Avnei Shel Kohen Hedyot had Tchela in it, so we're out of luck because we don't have tchedas. I don't know. Maybe we're not so out of luck, but it would be very hard. It would be very hard to have a paraduma. So anyway, says Mar Bishlam, Madiam Ledoris b'Kohen Hedyot. I understand very well if you assume that Ledoris could be done by a Kohen Hedyot. So Shapir. So then I understand that what we're learning from this miut, that since it's being in the might, that Ledoris does not require the Sagan, it doesn't require a Lezar, and we don't find that the Torah ever requires a Kohen Gadol, so it could be done by any Kohen. El Madiam Ledoris. But if you hold that Lidoros, it has to dafka be done by the Kohen Gadol. Minale, where do we get that from? That it has to be dafka be done by the Kohen Gadol. Even the Parah of Moshe Rabbeinu's time didn't need a Kohen Gadol. Why would I be more machmir Lidoros than I am in the Parah of Moshe Rabbeinu? So, Gamar, chuka chuka miyom HaKippurim. It must be that there's a gzeirah shava of chuka chuka that it says zos chuka sator by paraduma, and by Yom HaKippurim it says vayse lechem lechuka solam. That just like the avodas Yom HaKippurim have to be done by Kohen Gadol, so too the maisa paraduma have to be done by a Kohen Gadol. So now we've darshan vayter v'hotzi osat. You bring the para michutz l'machne. So shaliotzi acheres ima. Hotzi osa means it's got to go out alone. You're not allowed to bring another animal together with the paraduma. Kiditnan, the Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Parah tells us loisa paru rotza latzeis. Let's say the paru is being stubborn. He's not interested in going anywhere. So you can't. The Mishnah Chrono points out you can't pull it with a rope or anything like that because tying a rope around it is considered a malacha, and you can't do any malacha with the paru. So it would passel it right there if you tie a rope around it. So how do you encourage it to go? Where you need it to go. So ein. You cannot have a black cow, meaning lavdavka black, any a white cow, a black cow, any other cow that's not aduma, go with it in order to encourage it so that it'll go with its friend. You'll pull the black one with the rope, and then the paraduma will follow. No, shaliyam rishchora shachatu, because then people will think that the avodas paraduma is with a black cow. They're going to think that that's part of the thing. Vein motzini ma'aduma, you can't just bring another paraduma with it. I would have said, because where in the world are you going to find another paraduma? You got lucky enough to find one. But no, if you did have to, shaliyom shtayim shachtu, because then people will think that you have to shach two paradumas in order for a paraduma to be valid. Rebbe Yomer Lomen Hashem is there. Rebbe says that's not the reason that you're not allowed to bring another para with it. El mishum shenemer, because the pasuk says osa, and we darshan levada. It's not because of people might say this that. No, it's a pasuk. Osa means that just osa. V'tanakama oksiv osa. Did the Tanakama not realize the pasuk said osa that you're not allowed to bring something else with it? Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, Darsh Taima Dekra. Ooh, the Tanakama is Shitas Rabbi Shimon, who always darshans the Taima Dekra. So therefore, even though there is a pasuk mefurish that says Osa, and therefore I know that it's got to go out alone, I still want to explain why, because the reason is going to be important. Don't we always try to give reasons for the pasukim? So the Ritva points out as a very important yesod. When we say Darshin and Taima Dekra, Lo Darshin and Taima Dekra, that all machlokas. It's not a machlokas whether we should try to give reasons for the Sefer HaChinuch gives reasons. We always give reasons for mitzvos. We don't think we have the reason, but we always give reasons for mitzvos. Darshin time to cry is whether darshinan, whether we, it's one of the midos shatar and dreshes ben. Can you derive halacha based on the time of the cry? That when the tam doesn't apply, the mitzvah is not going to apply. My benai, what's the nafkamina, whether it's a shalom yomru or whether it's because of the gzeres akaz of a shachat osa? So ikabinai uta apik chamor bahada. Nafkamina would be if you bring a donkey with it. So osa v'lo acheres means you can't bring anything with it. not even a chamar. But if it's only because people will think that the other one is the part of the avoda, no one's going to think that about a donkey. They'll think that about another cow. They'll think that about another paraduma. They're not going to think that about a donkey. Okay, we'll continue these drushes in the Pesukim Bezer Shem on the top of the daf tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.